So slothfulness is the most deceptive and destructive vice to your spiritual walk. I believe that slothfulness is the most deceptive and destructive vice to your spiritual life and the Western church. So what is slothfulness? Now, often when I say slothful, we bring to imagination right now Sid the Sloth from Ice Age. Anyone here, Ice Age? Or that cute little creature that seems to just hang on the tree for 15 to 22 hours a day, just kind of lazing around. For you who are older parents who have teenagers, that might be the sloth that you see on your couch. And this is the reality that we have. The world fills our minds that Sid the Sloth or laziness is what we mean by slothfulness. And the American culture, can I tell you, is nothing but not lazy. Like, we are people generally who are on the offensive. If anyone catches us being lazy, we get all sorts of offended, right? I mean, that's probably the most greatest cuss word. If I said to someone, hey, Larry, you're lazy, you'd be like, come over here and I'll show you lazy. Like, this is the reality of it. If someone called us lazy, there is something that shifts in our hearts and we're just like, oh, no, I don't believe that at all. It's like on your job interview. It's not like you say, what's your weakness? Oh, I'm so lazy. Like, you don't say a job interview. You say, what you say is, oh, I work too hard. Man, I just can't turn off the work. And so laziness in that slothfulness is what we fill our minds with. But this is where the deception of slothfulness comes, because this is the definition of what slothfulness means. It's not doing what needs to be done. Sloth, failure, is not doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. I want that to sit in for a moment. It's not about movement, it's about production. Slothfulness is about the fruits of your life. It's not about how busy, how quickly you move. That's the deception. But actually, it's about what fruit you actually produce in your life. There are things that you need to do that you're not doing and you're avoiding. The Proverbs say this in three ways. Proverbs 26, 13 to 15, the New Living Translation says this. The lazy person claims, there's a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. Imagine that. This is a cultural moment we're dropping into. There was a common phrase used, there's a lion on the road, as an excuse to walking about. So that's the first point. The lazy person or the slothful person is someone that makes excuses. Second, as a door swings back and forth on the hinges, so a lazy or slothful person toes over in bed. Again, children, other people, teenagers, that turning over on the hinges. Maybe you on a Monday morning when the alarm goes off, how many times do we hit the snooze button? Just let me get that extra 5 minutes. So escaping, or a lazy person, they take food in their hand, but they don't even lift it to their mouth. And so they've got everything ready in front of them. They've cooked up a beautiful spread and they don't finish the job. They do not eat the food. Those are the three things. It's not movement-based. It's production-based. So excuses, escaping, and non-execution. Let's just quickly play through some of these. So excuses today. Like a kamikaze pilot flying 17 missions, we all have a list of excuses that come up when we face things in our lives. This is how slothfulness operates in our lives. We have the excuses of my needs first. So I rush out the door. My wife, Rachel, says, hey, can you help me with, sorry, honey, I've got really important things to do. I've got to get to work to do such, such, such. I get to work, and what do? I open up my browser, and I check the latest sports. I do a little social media kind of scroll through, because I'm too busy to help with what's needed. Another one is, that's not me mentality. Those excuses that we make, that's just not my personality. I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert. And so I don't need to do that. We have all sorts of typecasting of identity which we use to prevent us from doing things that we need to do. Can I get an amen? Just going to be honest with you. And it's always like, it's always going to be this way, the excuses. This is just who I am. Take me or love me or leave me. This is just who I am. And we make the excuses about this is always the way it's going to be. Remember, all excuses to prevent you from producing the life which you're called to do. Second one, escapism. And I've got a picture for you today from We're the Millers. No regrets is the word on the tattoo. And it's a great montage. This is Scotty P. And you don't want your daughter meeting this guy. But his interesting montage that he had when they were analyzing as he pulled proudly his tattoo of no regrets, he was like, nothing bothers me. I'm just an easy, kind of carefree, kind of going guy. And it's in those montage of our life that we live that kind of brings this attraction to us, that we want to be people that nothing bothers us, right? Those kind of like good vibes only kind of people. Good vibes only. Like nothing's going to bother me. Nothing's going to distract me. I'm just going to simply disengage from my problems. Just let life be what it is. I don't need to bother with this. This fire that's going on in my life doesn't bother me. Good vibes only. And so the escapism from what needs to be dealt with, and maybe you have this mentality of conflict in your life. You know, you've got some things in your life that you need to do, but you just keep brushing it off. You keep on escaping into Netflix, other shows. You know that you've got this project you need to do, but we just keep on carrying on, distracting ourselves from what really matters. I think that one's really prevalent with me. If anyone did coursework or any school study work, who are the procrastinators in the room? Can we see some hands raised today? Thank you very much. Thank you for being honest in this room. I know there's many more. But we all have this kind of escapism mentality. Or maybe the third and final, the non-execution. Remember the bowl. We've got everything in front of us, but we just don't finish the job. Conflict is no fun thing to deal with. The conflict that comes into our worlds, and we don't want to confront the broken relationship. And so instead, magically, 10 things appear on your list to do rather than that conflict that you know you need to speak with that person. Man, I need to have a vision and start preparing for the next preaching series. Oh, I need to speak to this. I need to do to this. I've got all these lists of things that suddenly appear because I don't want to execute what is really important in front of me right here and now. Does anyone resonate with that? I know that that happens to me constantly. And I have to choose in my uncomfortability to choose to finish what God wants me to do. And that's the thing. God wants you to do something. God has a plan. God has a destiny. God has things that he wants you to attack and bring fruit from. But yet we are full of control. And so we make excuses, we escape, and we just don't execute on the things that God really wants us to do. So what's kind of maybe one of the root causes that happens? Why do we feel slothful? Why do we feel like we make excuses and we escape? Why does this happen? And I would put it down to this phrase today. Obviously, a blanket statement, there are many caveats to slothfulness. But one thing I really want to attack today is a slothful heart that is an overwhelmed soul. See, when we become slothful, actually, we just have a story or narrative that is so overwhelming. There is nothing that we can seem to do to overcome or break through this moment. And maybe for you, it looks like your work. You're stuck in a dead-end job or your job you're fed up with, and it just feels like despair. And so you make excuses. You make escapism. You escape and fantasize about living somewhere else or moving somewhere else. Or you just give up on doing your role properly. You're just like, I can't be bothered to finish the tasks which I'm actually doing because I am overwhelmed in my soul. And maybe for you, it's a family situation. Maybe it's a marriage situation. It's just been like this forever, and you're afraid to conflict the issue that's at hand. And over again, you want to have that conversation with your other half, but you feel like it's just never going to change. It's always been this way, and you feel overwhelmed. Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe it's a health issue, physically or mentally. And you want to get help. You want to be able to move forward, but it's always been this way. And nothing seems to help, and you just feel overwhelmed. Maybe it's your spiritual walk. You've been walking with Jesus for many years, and nothing has changed. You feel like you're just the same person and you're frustrated. Is God even real? Does he even hear my cries? Or have you just completely numbed your heart to what God really wants to do in your life? I think for me, and I've shared many times over and over again, pandemic was certainly a numbing heart issue for me. I remember summer in July of the pandemic, as I sat on my deck, there was a warm air, it was night, and I felt all sorts of slothfulness come over me. I felt all sorts of slothfulness just come over me as I sat out trying to decide mask or no mask, vax or no vax, the racial issues that were going on and the political issues. And I just sat there wondering what on earth I meant to do. It just felt so overwhelming. As a young leader, just within his first year of trying to lead the church in the direction that God had called us. And I just felt this pull just to escape, to sign the resignation, like, I didn't sign up for this, God. Get it out of here, right? And so I'd brought this slothfulness, and I started disengaging. I started escaping. I started to try and escape the thought of having to actually face the issues. And it didn't go away either. It kept on happening with the different things of pains that came into our lives. And me and Rach have really just come to the reality that we have been in survival mode for a long time. We've been operating in slothfulness for a long time. And we've had no energy to even deal with it. I mean, young parents in the room, that's a reality. Lack of sleep, that's a reality. And all these combinate together to pull us into apathy, into a numb heart. And God wants to awaken you today. There is hope today. And so for you that feel like you don't operate on full strength, or you don't have vision for a good life, that you've just got this reality that I'm just going to keep on staying locked into this space, that there is no change, can I tell you today that that is not true? Like, as I am walking out this reality of living a diligent life, God is slowly but surely bringing new life to me, new vision to me, new hope to me. The gospel works. It works. And so we want to talk about today diligence, doing what needs to be done in its simplest. Or it's got this connotation of steadfastness. So we've got this idea of built on settled state of hope for our souls. That we want to be Christians that build a settled state of hope for our souls. That we can be Christians that persevere through the circumstances, through the realities of life. That when people look at our lives, there will be a testimony that says, you've been through all of this, yet you've got so much hope. What do you have that I need in my life? Like, I want us to be Christians that when we're at the workplace, that we're not joining in the slothful conversation of escapism and excuses. No, we're people that turn up with solutions, creative ideas that come with the right heart at work, amen? Like, to be good stewards of our work. This is the reality of what we want to be. So how do we do this? How do we lean into a greater story? Because that's the problem. We need a better story. We've been living into the story of slothfulness that says, this is always going to be this way. There is no change. There is no possibility. I will make excuses, escape, and I just won't complete what I've got in hand because what's the point? We've got to bring a better story into our hearts. We've got to bring in a gospel story. I love this quick little moment from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses is about to lead the people. Well, he's about to tell the people how to live into the promised land. So they've been walking around for 40 years, and he kind of gives them a command of obedience. And it starts in verse 7. For what great nation is there that God, a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? What great nation there that has statutes, laws, rules, righteousness that I've set before you today? And this is the key part. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, these miracles and wonders, unless you depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the call that Moses is saying. You guys, you've shown it, and you do, you forget the good things that God has brought into your life. And you will fall into the trap of escaping into a different story. Babylon and other cultures, Egypt, will try and tell you a different story. And he's saying, children of Israel, like a good father, would you diligently hold on to the story of the gospel of victory, the parting of the Red Seas, the manna, the water from a rock? What miracles do you have in your life today that you need to bring diligently to mind? What story are you living into? So how do we be diligent people who live with the story of the gospel? Well, let's bring an image to mind today. As we've been talking about trees, I've got an obsession at the moment with trees. So if I leave the pastoring business, maybe I might go into a tree surgery or something like that. But I love trees. And trees are the perfect things. That's how much I love trees right now, man. They're people, I talk to them, we've got plenty of trees down there, and we go and have a talk. Best conversation to have all day. But we want to think about trees as diligent things, not slothful things. They are not frantic to constantly produce. They produce in season. And they're not listening to the latest podcast on how to release the inner redwood inside of them, right? Like the inner tree, like listening to all those kind of things. They don't consume vast amounts of caffeine. Amen. I'm not a coffee drinker. There we go. I'll definitely consume some caffeine though. To keep us on the adrenaline run. They are not hurried, yet they are fully, actively, and producing fruit. Isn't it beautiful? They're constantly producing fruit. And they're bringing it up because, this is the key, they know where their nourishment comes from. They know where their nourishment comes from. And this is the conversation, this is the point from the text we're about to read today. We need a rhythm of life that abides, remains, and produces. Your abiding is the key to the breakthrough against your slothfulness. It's not more motivational talks. It's not, here's your five steps to your best life. But actually, it's simple. It's remaining in Jesus. I love that. We're getting back to simplicity. We're coming back to the main things. I was away in San Francisco this week, and N.T. Wright, if anyone knows, he was one of the speakers there. They'd done a video, and he simply said this. The question was to the pastors, what can you tell pastors to do? And he was like, read your Bible, pray your socks off, and love people. That's what he said to the pastors. Read your Bible, pray your socks off, and love people. We're coming back to the simplicity. The simplistic thing is that you need empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh wind. You need to abide in Jesus. That will be the enemy against slothfulness. And so the context of our passage that we just read, that really well-known passage, Matthew 11 has a conversation about who will bring fullness of life. John the Baptist has sent his disciples from jail to them to say, is this really what fullness of life looks like? Jesus responds, yes, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. There is healing and restoration that's happening. And then Jesus goes into a teaching about all these cities, and he begins to denounce them, saying, I've done all these mighty works, I've done good things, good stories are being told of, and yet they didn't repent. Christian, today, you can have the most amazing breakthrough, but if you don't live a life abiding, it will just melt away. It will just melt away. If you think that you can walk out the Christian life just by good miracles happening in your life, you will still fall away. Jesus says, he rebukes them. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For the mighty works done have been done in Tyre and Sidon, and they did not repent. I think there's this interesting reality that because of control that slothfulness brings, it stops ourselves from surrendering to something else. This is what slothfulness does. It just keeps everything self-contained, self-insulated, and it prevents us from connecting to something else. So Jesus, at the end of all of that teaching, gives this summary, which I think is so powerful in context. This is a teaching against slothfulness, against someone that does not engage and does the right thing. Instead, even though miracles are happening, carries on living the life that they want to live. This is the context of the teaching that Jesus says. So it's not just a nice, Jesus wants me to come rest with him. It's more than that. It's more than just rest. And so he says to us, come to me. This beautiful invitation from Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful invitation from Jesus. For all who are weary today, all of you who feel burnt out, tired, broken, there is an invitation from our Savior that says, come be with me. Weary and slothful alike. But as we carry on reading, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, that's kind of a strange invitation to rest, Jesus. Wouldn't I want to take a vacation? Like if I'm coming into your rest, I'd love to go to that 5-star hotel or that all-inclusive resort. Isn't that what real rest is all about? But that's what slothfulness wants you to do. We move from the two extremes of comatose to erratic behavior, and that's the world. We burn out and then we become a sloth. And Jesus' invitation is better than that. It's take my yoke. And so this is agriculture. A yoke is something that the oxen or horse would put over the back of their necks, and they would use the power of the animals braced by this yoke to move it forward and do the work that it needed. It harnessed the strength of the oxen. And so a work instrument, Jesus, really a work instrumentation. And Jesus realizes this is one of the scholars. Jesus realized that the most restful gift for an overwhelmed soul is to carry a new way of life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. See, life is a succession of burdens that we cannot escape. You cannot escape the burdens that wait outside for you, even now that you carry. And Jesus does not offer escape either. But instead, he offers equipment, a yoke. Now, a yoke is a teaching. So Jesus set before teachings of the kingdom and the way to live into those. So a yoke is teachings, Jesus' teachings on how to live life and how to be human. What I love about this picture as well, and many of you who've grown up in Sunday school would have heard this as well, that when we take a yoke, it looks something like this for an ox. Now, clearly there is one bigger than the other. It wasn't quite big enough for the extreme. So if that's not good enough for you, imagine me and my little daughter Eliana, right? We both got a yoke on us. And this invitation is to travel life with Jesus. It's to travel with. Every time Jesus brought new disciples into his life, it was, come, follow me. Come, be with me. And attach yourself to something bigger and stronger. So whenever, like me and Eliana maybe would lift an object, she would be super happy lifting and be like, Daddy, we're doing this together. And I'd be like, yeah, we're doing this together. But reality is I'm holding all the weight. I'm holding all the power that is needed to move said object. And Eliana is just enjoying the ride, but I'm loving the participation. I'm loving that she enjoys being with me and actually doing something with me. That's the heart of Jesus. It's not to do life alone. We follow Jesus together. That's the heart posture. Because slothfulness is my comfort. And so we don't want a yoke, if we're honest. We don't want to read our Bible and pray every day. because I would rather fill my desires with what I want to see and do. Because when we're honest, when we follow Jesus, that yoke, Jesus is moving at a certain pace and it's maybe not as fast as I want it to. So I'm trying to pull Jesus along in my spiritual journey or direction. Jesus, I think we need to tackle this. And he's like heading in this direction. You can imagine his awkwardness as I'm moving at a different speed to Jesus, moving at a different direction. And this yoke is just smacking me on the back of the head because Jesus is God and you are not. And he is interested in you being formed in the way that he wants you to be formed. And so when it hits your head, don't run away from it. Ask the question, why is it hitting my head? Why is reading my Bible and praying? Why is it being with him is so hard? We want to wait on the Lord. We want to entwine ourselves with Jesus. I would argue that many have not found real rest, that you haven't found the real gospel of rest yet because you are not willing to surrender your way to his way. When we truly surrender to his way, we experience the removal of fear and anxieties because we know that he's good, he's going to provide all things. When we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things start to come into alignment. Amen. Like we're never more full of joy and happiness like after a Sunday morning or a conference. Like I've just been away in a couple of days and so I'm amped, I'm full of vision and life. But now it's my job to maintain and abide and continue my walk in spirituality. Slothfulness is like gravity. You're going to have to deal with it every single day. And you've got to live a different way to that. So how do we do that? This quick practice we're going to be doing this week. So we've been encouraging people to gather into groups. Gather online. If you check Point View Church, Let the Light In. You can check on our social media platforms as well. There is discussion questions, summary discussion questions, and the practice on what we're going to walk out together. And so again, the invitation this week is, would you gather in two or three people to practice this week? And actually let some of this stuff deep root inside of you. Because listening to a message on Sunday, which most of you would have forgotten by later today, or maybe as soon as you've walked out of this. What did that guy say again? Something about slothfulness. I remember that. Yeah, maybe we should take a Sunday nap. That's what he was talking about. And so I don't want that to happen because our spirituality is all of our lives. And so the invitation is, would you engage with two or three other people and actually own up to some of the stuff that shows up in your life? Because it all does. And actually begin to pray with one another and see transformation happen. And so this is the practice. If we are to be diligent people, we're to take a practice. There are many practices, but the one thing I think that we need to work on today is the practice of presence. To become aware of Jesus, we need to come aware that someone is carrying the yoke with us. Slothfulness offers no real rest, and so we want to find the real rest. Be still and know, from Psalm 46. This is the practice of the presence of God. It's to become still, so to actually slow down. So something of a practical nature to walk this out. I encourage you to get your phone, iPhone, whichever phone you have, and to actually set an alarm in your day. A great one would be as soon as you wake up, that you practice being still. The best one that I'd really love for everyone to practice, because I think this would really challenge our slothfulness, is at lunchtime this week. So set an alarm for 12 or whenever your lunch break is, and what your alarm is going to be is to be still. You're going to slow down. The biggest temptation for many of us in the room, and my temptation as well, we're going to work through our lunch break. We're going to achieve, and we're going to get the stuff done that needs to be done. But I want you to fight against that, because that's slothfulness. Slothfulness is not doing what needs to be done. You need the Spirit of God inside of your life, amen? You need to come to the realization that God is with you. And so we want to create stillness. Stillness looks like creating space, which allows Jesus to build an inner sanctuary inside of us. So we can commune with God, unite with God's will and his presence. And so it looks like just being still. So find a chair or a quiet place. Work and put your hands out in front of you. So right now, just everyone put their hands out in front of you while you're sitting. And let's just close our eyes right now. And we're just going to bring stillness. And so just take a deep couple of breaths right now. And just breathe out. And we just become still. There's been a lot of words that have been spoken. And now I want to become aware of the presence of God. And so simply all I do is this. I just begin to be still. And I want to know that He is God. That means I want to fill my mind. I want to take captive every thought right now that's entering into your mind. So all the distractions right now, all the to-do lists, I want to take captive and say, God, remove the thoughts that are not of You. I cast out the thoughts that are not of You. I rebuke You, devil, where You're trying to put lies in my mind right now. And I want to think on what's true, what's honorable, what's lovely, what's excellent. So just begin to fill your mind with the goodness of God, how He loves you. Now, if this is a struggle to think of good things, that's a great question. Why do I find it so hard to fill my mind with good things? And just ask, God, I want You to fill my mind with good things of You today. And so just let that begin to stir in your heart right now, because I want to know You. I want to bring to mind a truer story of the kingdom. I want to fight slothfulness. And so I just, Psalm 23 I have memorized. It's a really easy psalm and it's really popular. So I just begin to repeat some of the lines from the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I just begin that to mind. I have no need, I have no want, because He is my shepherd. The one who's holding the yoke right now, He has all that I need. He makes me lie down beside in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And maybe you just want to echo those words over and over again in your mind. Maybe you don't know that scripture. And so Psalm 23, I encourage this week, every day as part of your stillness, just read Psalm 23. And just let that imagery fill your mind right now. You've got a shepherd who is leading you in green pastures. You're walking through a field of green pastures. There is living water. And you're like, God, I want to know that right now. And so, Jesus, we want to practice this week being in Your presence. We want to be still and know that You are God. Okay, and come back to the room. Now, I want, that's the practice. It's as simple as that. It can be as a couple of minutes or it can be longer. But the invitation is, I want you to practice and set an alarm at your most like crazy moments of day, because stillness is, the purpose is consent. Stillness is to say, I'm not Lord of my life. I need God right now. And so I'm just going to be still before Him. And I'm going to know that He is God. Brother Lawrence says this, think often on God, day by day, night by night, in your business, and even your diversions. He is always near you and with you. Leave Him not alone. That's the invitation today. And so as we close, I'd like to invite the worship team up. And actually, I want Johanna, if you're in the room. Johanna, if you can come up. Just to share a testimony around her experience of how this has actually been lived out. So can we welcome Johanna today? So we are going to go into a ministry time after this. But I want you to hear this story and how it shows up, slothfulness or over being the soul overwhelmed, and what God did in her life to bring about renewal.
Guess you have to push it all the way down. So this is a number of years ago, and when we were praying this morning, I felt like the Lord reminded me. And so I had gotten myself into just a huge mess. And when I say huge mess, I mean intentional, deliberate sin. So I know we can get in a lot of messes that are not our fault entirely. But it was 100% my choice. And I remember just getting so overwhelmed. I mean, I've been a believer my whole life. Never really did anything super awful, and here I am, and I just remember sitting there just crying and crying to the Lord, like, I don't know how to get out. And I was sitting on my floor in my living room, and I had this real clear picture of me in like an old time tent, and there was a river running through the middle of the tent. I was sitting in the middle of it, and it wasn't water, it was sewage, it was just filth. And I remember thinking, God, this is 100% me. I don't even know how to get out of this. And I had this real clear picture of the Lord, and he was beautiful and white and clean. And he walked into the middle of the tent, and he sat down with me. He said, all I want to do is be with you. And so, you know, we talk about a lot of this stuff, about trying to be intentional, about taking that next step. And, you know, the theme of this series is Let the Light In. And for me, the light is always him. So wherever you're at, whether it's, you know, a mess that you got into on your own, whether it's the series of events that were out of your control, I just encourage you to let the light in, because wherever he comes, he changes whatever that situation is. And it wasn't long after that I was knowing I needed to make some decisions, and I was terrified. Like, I cannot possibly explain how terrified I was. And I was sitting there talking to the Lord, and I saw this massive wave. I mean, it was like a tsunami wave. And he said, this is my grace. You take that first step, and this is my grace. And I remember I did it, and I just felt this like wave of his grace. And while we were sitting there this morning, like listening to this message, I just felt like the Lord was saying, when you take those steps, like, and the Lord starts doing something new in your life, it's this precious little gift, and to treasure it and to protect it, because the Lord takes that and he grows it inside of you. Just challenging me to protect what he's doing in me when he takes those moments. But whether you're in a spot where the Lord has like brought you, you started like doing in response to this, you've got some things where you've let the Lord in, protect that. Whether you're in the middle of that fear and you know you need to take a step, just know there's a massive wave of grace ready and waiting to crash over you. And if you're in the middle and you just have been ignoring to the best of your ability the fact that you are sitting in the middle of a mess, as someone who had one of the biggest messes I can ever imagine in my life because of my choices, my life is a testimony that that's not where it ends. And it's not because of anything I did. It's because of the amazing grace of someone who loved me, who died for me before I was born. He's always bigger.
Thank you, Johanna. And this is the invitation today. We're about to sing a song, Hope on the Horizon.